This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
In 1976, I had the privilege of taking a trip to the Bible lands, and that was a trip of a lifetime. It may be that some of you that are watching now have been there several times, but I've not had that opportunity, only one trip. But I think about it often as I'm studying the Bible and I study about different places in the Bible. But I believe the highlight of the entire trip was the day that after we had seen the ruins of where the city of Capernaum used to be, that the guide took us to the site over the Sea of Galilee on a little slope there, and we were sitting there, and he began to explain that it was somewhere in that region that Jesus sat down and taught the greatest sermon that has ever been delivered, and we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be discussing a series of lessons entitled Moments on the Mount. And in that series, we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I want to welcome you today, and please stay tuned as we discuss Moments on the Mount. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And in order that you might know more about the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
No storm can hide that greatest peaceful being, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise,
as we continue our study of the Beatitudes of our Lord, I'd like to read today from Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, what does it really mean? What did Jesus really mean when he said, blessed are the meek? Well, first of all, let me tell you what he's obviously not talking about. Jesus is not talking about some natural ability that you have. He's not talking about you're just being easygoing. When Jesus talks about being meek, he's not talking about a person who's willing to compromise. When Jesus talked about meekness, he's not talking about a person who is weak. Actually, the word meek is used in the original language to try to describe a horse when that horse is broken. If you wanted to buy your child a horse to ride, doubtless one of the first questions you might ask the owner of that animal would be something like this: is that horse broken to ride? Or you might ask, is this animal gentle? I need a gentle animal for my son to ride or my daughter to ride. And so when we talk about a person being meek, that's how it was used originally. Now think about a horse. A horse doesn't lose its power and its strength when it's been broken to ride. Its power under control. And really that's what meekness is all about. It's when power is under control. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's think about the scriptures and meekness. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 29. Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And then in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, where Paul is writing about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and one of those things that he mentions as being fruit of the Holy Spirit is meekness. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul is writing about unity and how Christians can be promoters of unity. And he opens the chapter by saying, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness, with meekness. Christians are to walk with meekness. And then in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, verse 12, he said, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on kindness, humility, meekness. When we put off the old man, we put on that new man. Part of that clothing with which we are to be clothed is meekness. Put on meekness. Then Paul is writing to a young evangelist by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 24, he said, the servant of God must not strive. The King James Version, New King James reads, should not quarrel. And so a preacher should not be one who strives. A preacher should not be one who quarrels. Actually, no Christian should be that way. But Timothy goes on to say that you must not quarrel, but be meek. And that is to be gentle. We ought to be gentle preachers. And the word gentleman has as its root word the word gentle. And Christian ministers of the gospel, preachers of the gospel, of all people, ought to conduct themselves as gentlemen. When I think about people in the Bible who were gentle, I think about Moses. Now, let me tell you, Moses wasn't a compromiser. And Moses was not a man who was a weak person. You think about Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt to the land of promise. But it is said of Moses in the book of Numbers, chapter 12 and verse 3, that Moses is the meekest man in all the earth. And then we have the example of Jesus that we've already mentioned in Matthew 11, 29, where Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. And Jesus was not weak. Jesus was not a compromising person. But Jesus was meek. Well, what is the characteristics of a person who is meek? Well, first of all, a person who is meek realizes how weak they are without God. You'll never be strong. You'll never be a strong person until you realize how weak you are without God. I've seen people who were physically weak. I've seen people who were so weak they could hardly stand. And I'm telling you, that's weakness that's not to be envied. I've been there. So weak because you've been sick, you could hardly stand up. But there's a weakness sometimes of the soul that people have. But a person that is meek, it has their power under control. They might have certain abilities that they could use, but they don't use those abilities. They don't say those things. They don't do those things because they have it under control. It's when we are weak, really weak, in our spiritual man, that we realize that we are nothing without God. Preachers are nothing without the Lord, let me tell you. I relate quite often what Paul said about preachers over in the book of 1 Corinthians. And when he said, the man that plants and the man that waters is nothing, but it is God who gives the increase. So I think of myself as a big zero. That is, without God, I'm nothing more than just a great big zero. Because God is the one who has the power. God is the one who gives the increase. I plant God's seed, and the power's in the seed. That is the Word of God. And God is the one who has the power to make that seed come up. You'll never be meek till you realize that you're nothing without God. But then you have to be a controlled person. Paul was a controlled man in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said, I buffet my body, and I bring it into subjection after having preached to others that I myself should be a castaway. Now, what did Paul mean? Paul meant I have to buffet my body. I have to control my body. I have to bring my body under control. Lest after I get out here and I preach to other people that I myself should be lost. Because I fail to bring myself under control, my passions under control, my emotions under control, my temper under control. You see, we need to be controlled people. And to be meek means that you are gentle. And it means that you are a spirit-filled person. Someone says, Brother Lambert, do you believe that people have the Holy Spirit today? I absolutely do. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we obey the gospel. By believing on Jesus, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith, by being baptized into Christ. Because Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit there is not the donor, but the donation. And we have the Holy Spirit in us, in our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. But the evidence that we are Spirit-filled people is called the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and he mentions love and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and so forth. All of those things constitute the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll be gentle people when we become Spirit-filled people. You see a person that they can't control themselves. They just go into fits. There's nothing Spirit-controlled about a person like that, is there? But when we're meek in our spirit, we become forgiving people. It means that we are humble enough, we're controlled enough, that we see the need that I ought to forgive people. First of all, it's sinned against me. That have sinned against God, I ought to be willing to forgive. Paul in Ephesians 4:32 wrote, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We ought to be willing to forgive one another. And sometimes forgiveness is not easy. It is not easy. A woman calls me one day. Her husband hasn't come home all night long. He's never done this before. But he's been drinking for a number of years. But he always would come home. But this time he didn't. And I said, "Oh, let me see if I can find him." And I was preaching in a county that's referred to as a dry county. You couldn't buy alcohol in that county. The next county just south of us was a wet county. You could buy alcohol. So I thought, well, the first place I'll go looking for him is where they sell alcohol. And sure enough, I found him in a bar. And I call his wife, I tell her where he is, and she said, "I'll be right there." So she and I went in and found him at that bar, sitting there, crying in his beer with another woman. And his wife over and over said, "I'll never forgive him, I'll never forgive him, I'll never forgive him." But bless your heart, she did. She did. She forgave her husband. And we need to be people that forgive. Sometimes it is hard to forgive. But folks, our soul salvation depends upon it, because the Bible says, "If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you," what? "Your trespasses." It's forgive to be forgiven. And so to be meek means that we're forgiving. It also means that we've learned how to be quiet sometimes. Paul wrote about that in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we could get so many people to abide by this? Paul there says, "Aspire to lead a quiet life." Oh, aspire, that's the New King James translation. Aspire to lead a quiet life. To be quiet. Have you ever wanted to do that? If you watch certain things that you see on your computer, maybe on one of the social media, they'll put a picture of a cabin out in the woods somewhere, and they might ask the question, "Would you live in this cabin for a year for a certain amount of money?" I'd live in there for a year for the cabin, wouldn't you? It'd be out in the woods where it's quiet. There's not the humdrum of all that's going on in society. I was preaching one time in the mountains, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I was carried out to a cabin that was way off in the woods, up on top of a mountain. And I was told that there used to be a community of people living there, and they worshiped in that building. There was a church building there, and a log cabin is likely still there. And I could not hear a single automobile. No one blowing a horn. I couldn't hear an 18-wheeler coming by anywhere. All I could hear were the birds singing. And it was so quiet. And sometimes we just need to learn to be quiet. I've often said that people need just some quiet time. And the Bible says that we have to learn to be quiet. We need to learn to be quiet. And sometime in our relationship with other people, Folks, we just sometimes need to be quiet. Don't always be talking. Do some listening. And listen to the other person. I mean, really listen. But learn to be meek, to be quiet. And there are rewards when we learn to be quiet. Now remember, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What are some of the rewards? Well, when we're meek people, we're going to receive the best God has to offer. And we're going to receive the best that God has to offer now. For example, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, Paul was reminding these people how wonderful it had been to him for them to help him. And Paul was in prison. He wrote the book of Philippians. And the church at Philippi had assisted the apostle Paul. And they had helped him, physically helped him with the needs that he had. And in verse 19, he said, my God shall supply all your need. Well, how will he do it? According to his riches. God is rich, and God can supply all our needs now. If you're trying to live a Spirit-filled life, if you're trying to live for Jesus, if you're trying to live a life that's centered around God and His Word, if you're trying to live a life that would make you as a child of His attractive to other people, I want you to know that the Lord is going to supply your needs. He's going to give you what you need in your life. Jesus even said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And one of the reasons some of us are lacking is because we need to be humble enough to bow our heads and ask God for help. But that's a characteristic of the meek man. And God is willing and God is able to give us the very best that He has now in this life. You say, well, Paul was in prison. Did the Lord bless him? Let me tell you how much the Lord blessed Paul. In verse 11 of Philippians chapter 4, Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in to be content. Well, where are you, Paul? Well, I'm in jail. I've had to have other people to help me with my necessities while I'm in prison. And you're content? I am content with whatever state I'm in and I'm in jail. How can you do that, Paul? Where do you get the strength to do that, Paul? I want what Paul had. Listen to verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He'll give me the strength to do it. That's not human strength. That's strength that He gives us. Before I came to preach this sermon today, I had to ask God to give me the strength to do it. I don't have all the physical strength that I need to do this. God gives us the strength. God gives us the help to do things in life. Can He do it? My God, Paul continued in verse 19 in Philippians 4, shall supply all your need. So I ask you, what do you need? What do you need? Yes, we can. He can help us now. I think of a passage in the 37th Psalm where the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've not ever seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. That's a promise. We've got to live that meek life. And then the rewards of being meek, that God can give us the best that He has to offer so far as the life to come is concerned. Not only now, but in the life to come, the life after life. Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. All that we put up in this old life is zero, is nothing compared to the glories and the riches and the blessings that we're going to receive on life's other side. So I would encourage you to be a Christian, to live the Christian life. If you've never become a Christian by obeying Christ in baptism, Jesus said, "He that believeth one and is baptized two shall be saved number three." That's as simple as one, two, three. And if you'll do that, you'll be saved. And you live for Him and you die for Him and you die in Jesus, you'll receive blessings that are out of this world, absolutely out of this world. Oh, it pays to live for Jesus. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible Today. We've been on this telecast now for a long, long time. And we want you to tell someone else about getting to know your Bible. And right now, before we close, let me give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And also, pick up your telephone and call for the Bible Correspondence Course. Someone will send it to you as soon as we receive your request. I'm Billy Lambert. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible Today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.